1 through 8 again. Let's go ahead and pray before we get going. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this time that we can come here, freely worship you. Lord, thank you so much for that privilege that we have. Lord, I thank you that you have done so much for us. You've given us the Word of God that we can read and learn from you. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to have open hearts and minds to what you have for us. And Lord, I just thank you for loving us so much. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so 2 Timothy 2. We started off last week with going through 1 through 8. We got through the first two verses, got into the third verse. just some different things that Paul is telling Timothy to do as a Christian and kind of more specifically as a soldier of Jesus Christ. So the first verse 1 told him to be strong. Verse 2 was to commit the things that Paul was teaching him to others, other faithful men. And verse 3 was to endure, and enduring hardness. We looked at for 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 8 last week. Actually, I'd like to look at James 1 in regards to this one as well. James 1, verse 12. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to him, to them that love him. So here we find actually another crown that's associated with enduring. And this one specifically says enduring temptation. As a Christian, we're going to endure temptation. As a human being here on earth, we're going to endure temptation. How we do so, how we face that temptation, essentially shapes how our life ends up. And here, James says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Can go face the temptation head on, and get through it, endure, push through that. It says, for when he is tried, that trial by fire, that trial of that temptation, once you get come through on the other side, it says he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That enduring, that is essentially you're coming up against a barrier, and you are facing that. All right, this is something that is fighting to take me down. And I have to come up to it, fight through it, and get past that barrier. Get past whatever it is that's trying to take me down. Again, through the help of the strength of the Lord. The only way we're going to do it. But once we get through that, that is what makes us stronger. That is what further equips us to endure more temptations and to continue down that path. And as we continue down that path, enduring through those temptations, God is laying up her treasures for us. And ultimately, it says, if you endure these temptations, I'm giving you a crown of life. So that enduring again is a very not fun context, but that's something that we have to do as a Christian, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, is to endure, to come up, to fight against this, to get through it, and come out on the other side. So that's verse 3 of 2 Timothy 2. Now let's look at verse 4. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. here, it talks about, says, that we may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. That's our Lord. He's chosen us to be a soldier. We need to conduct ourselves in such a manner that we bring pleasure to him. Let's look at Revelation 4:11. Very well-known verse. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." We were literally created to bring God pleasure. That is what we're here for. And if we're not bringing God pleasure, we're not fulfilling our calling in life. And as a soldier of Jesus Christ, we've got to make sure that we don't entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. We can't let ourselves get bogged down in the things around us, because it's easy to do. And it's really easy to end up kind of taking in all the things around us, and they start taking up more and more and more of our time, and we just kind of immerse ourselves into it, and we get entangled. We get tangled up in the affairs of this life. And that is not what brings our God pleasure. And Timothy tells us, Paul tells Timothy that when we're at war, we can't get sidetracked. Now, if you're in war and you're in hand-to-hand combat and you get sidetracked by something else, you're dead. Like, that's it. It's all over for you. You're done. You've got to be focused on the task at hand. No 60% here. You've got to be 100% there, or you are literally dead. And God's likening this to our life as a soldier. He's like, hey, I need your focus. Don't get tangled up in the affairs of this life. Focus on me. And that's what's going to give me pleasure. Let's look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 20. Well, verse 20. Matthew 25:20, it says, "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought out other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now, here, each of these guys were given talents from God. And they took those talents and they used them to gain more talents. And by doing so, God looked at them and said, you know what? Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We should definitely strive to bring that to God and say, God, this is what I've done for you. And God look at that and say, you know what? Well done. Well done. That has pleased me. I appreciate what you've done for me. Now, as a parent, it's always nice to see when your parent, when your kids go and do something. It's like, hey, look at that. They did it. They took this task. They did it. They did it well. Good job. That brings you pleasure as a parent. Like, hey, maybe I did teach them something after all. But it's like that brings pleasure as a parent to see your children fulfill tasks, be good at something, do the things that they need to do. And God is the same way. He says, hey, this is what I have laid out for you. If you'll do that, that will bring me pleasure. I will appreciate that. And again, our lot in life is to bring God pleasure. That's what we're here for. Let's look at Luke chapter 20, Luke 3. Luke 3, verse 22. Start verse 21. It says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Now, here is the ultimate example of God being pleased with his Son. In him, I am well pleased. Well, guess what? We have Jesus Christ living inside of us. We have him to help us live a life that can bring pleasure to God. And that is, again, our ultimate goal. Like, hey, what can I do to live my life to be pleasing to my God? And if we can live our lives with that mindset, we'll be doing okay. Because everything else, if we're living our life, the mindset of pleasing God and doing the things that will bring pleasure to God, everything else kind of falls into place. So that's the next thing that Paul tells Timothy. I want you to bring pleasure to your God. To please the one who's chosen you to be a soldier. Now, as Christians, each one of us has been chosen to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. And ultimately, we need to bring him pleasure in so doing. All right, verse 5. It says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, strive has a couple different connotations. You typically view strife as the kind of the poor, bad connotation. But strive can also be the definition can be to make great efforts to achieve or attain something. Essentially, you are diving into something. You are doing everything that you can to achieve this goal, to obtain the mastery of whatever skill you're trying to do. Now, my kids, I'll take music lessons, and if they don't actually strive to do the best they possibly can at it, they're not actually going to improve, at least very quickly. But if they dive into it, they strive to get that practice in, that's what's going to exponentially increase their skill level. By diving into that, making that great effort to achieve what they're going for. Now, this strife is not your typical sibling strife. We yell at each other, beating each other up, making making jokes at each other. Different kind of strife. God says, hey, I want you to strive for the mastery. I want you to live your life trying to be what I want you to be. To strive to draw closer to me. Let's look at Luke chapter 13. Luke 13, verse 22. It says, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto them, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, here, this is one back while Jesus is still walking with his disciples. And he tells them, hey, I want you to strive to enter in at the strait gate. The narrow gate. One, it's not the well-traveled. Because the way you're going to go is not the way most people are going to go. And it's not going to be a go with the flow. And just kind of float along through life. Like, hey, everyone else is going this way. I'm going to go this way too. No, you're going to have to strive against others. Because you are going in at the straight gate. It's not going to be where everyone's going. You're going to go against people. You're going to have to strive to do that. Let's look at Romans 15. Romans 15, we'll start at verse 15. It says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word or and deed, through many signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Paul here is talking about his striving to preach the gospel. And that should be part of our strife. We should strive to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. Anywhere where that may be. It might be around our house, that might be around our country, it might be different part of the world, who knows. But we should strive to preach the gospel. And Paul says, hey, I have, he kind of is like, in verse 17, he's like, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ. He's like, I have worked for Christ. I have been all over this known world preaching the gospel of Christ. We need to strive to bring the gospel of Christ to the people around us. We need to strive as a soldier of Jesus Christ to take the gospel wherever God leads us to do so. Let's look at verse 30 now. Same chapter. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And he says, all right, hey, you know what else I need? I need you to strive with me in your prayers. I need your help. And I know, he's like, I know you all can't just come with me and go help, come help me, but you can strive with me in your prayers. We can't always just, we can't go everywhere, but our prayers can. And we can strive together with anyone that is doing a work for God through our prayers. We can join forces with them and help them fight through whatever they're going through, through prayer. And sometimes it may not feel like much, but it really, really, really does help. And it really is an encouragement to the people you are praying for and praying with to know that you are praying with them, that you are striving with them in your prayers. Paul says, hey, I beseech you for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit that you strive with me. It's like, I need this. I need your help. I need you to be standing by my side in the Spirit through your prayers to strive with me to fulfill this work of God. And this is one of them that it's kind of the easiest to do, but the easiest to let slide too. And we need to try to strive with others in our prayers to help further the gospel of Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9. Corinthians 9, verse 24. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Here he's talking about running, and told Bryce, you ready to race me today? I think he'd win this time. But if you're running a long distance race, more power to you. I don't have it in me. But if you're running a long-distance race, you have to strive to do that. You have to be temperate in other things and focus on that task at hand and strive, push your body to fulfill that race. That's literally the Christian life. Our Christian life is that long-distance race, that marathon that our body says, nah, you aren't doing that. And you got to say, yeah, yes, we are. Get your split personality going there. We're doing this. We have to strive to run that race. Paul says, hey, you've got to strive to run the race of Jesus Christ. You've got to strive for the mastery. Now they do it for a corruptible crown. We have an incorruptible crown in store for us. If we'll run the race of Jesus Christ, strive for the mastery, and run the race that God has laid out for you. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get veered off of the track. Focus on that. Strive to do exactly what God wants you to do. Run that race the way God wants you to. And God says, hey, I've got a crown waiting for you again. So that's our striving that Paul tells Timothy, hey, you're going to have to strive. Kind of running out of time here. 2 Timothy 2, back to that. Second Timothy 2, verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. This one says you're laboring. Again, the Christian life is work. We have to labor for our God. And we need to labor for Jesus Christ. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be something you just sail through. It's like you have different jobs that you do that someone's like, oh, this is fun. I enjoy this. This is great. This is no problem to do. And then there's others that you're like, wait, I got to do this again. There's where your true labor comes in. When you do the work that you do not want to do, and it is a slog, but it's something you have to do, so you labor at it and you get it done. Now, hopefully, the things you do in your Christian life are not that slog. Sometimes it may get to the point where sometimes it is, but we still have to labor through that. We have to labor in our Christian life. I think we're going to go on verse 7. Verse 7 says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So here Paul tells Timothy, all right, I want you to consider the things that I'm saying here. I want you to consider what I've given you. Think about. Meditate on that. Like, all right, what should I do with what I've been given? Now let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. Samuel 12, verse 23. It says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. We have so much that God has done for us. Some of us can, some of you can look back, I'm sure, and see a whole long list of things like, wow. If it weren't for God, I'd probably be dead right now, multiple times over. And we need to be able to consider the things that God has done for us. This is consider how great things he had done for you. God has given us so many blessings in our life. And we need to be able to consider what he's done and say, hey, God, you're pretty amazing. God is a wonderful God. And we need to keep that in mind. Consider those things that God has done for us. Let's look at Job 37. Verse 137, verse 14. It says, "Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." Now, here, this is Elihu kind of finishing out his discourse to Job. But right here in this verse, he tells Job, "Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." Sometimes we just need to stop and just think, wow, God really is an amazing God. God has done so much. God has made so much. God has given us so much. And sometimes we just need to stop, stand still, and consider the wondrous works of God. Because God is that amazing. Let's look at Psalm 8. I think this might be one of the verses that comes to my mind randomly, probably the most of any other verse. Psalm 8, verse 3. It says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Or go outside at night and just look at the stars like, wow. What am I, God? What am I compared to this awesomeness? When I consider the heavens, what am I in comparison? And yet, God looks at us and says, "No, I love you. I love you." It's pretty amazing if you think about it. Like, God has this amazing creation that he has made. And you look around and the beauty and the intricacy that he's put into this creation. And yet he looks at us and says, "I want to have fellowship with you. I want to talk with you. I love you." That should put us in awe. It's like, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visit him? What are we that you want to have fellowship with us? But he does. And we need to avail ourselves of that amazing privilege that God has given us, the ability to fellowship with him, and to talk with him, and to love him. So there, Paul tells Timothy, consider what God's done and how amazing he is. Now, verse 8, he says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." I kind of think this is almost one of the most important ones. Because if we don't remember, we're going to fail. It says, "I want you to remember. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." For us, that is everything. Without Jesus Christ rising from the dead, there's nothing for us. That's it. Let's look at Hosea 4. Hosea 4, verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. He says here, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not because they didn't have it, because they forgot it. They failed to remember. They failed to keep God in the forefront of their minds. And they forgot the law of God. And that is why they're destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they forgot the knowledge. And we need to keep in mind, we need to keep God at the forefront of our minds. Keep that memory. Remember the things that God has done for us. Remember the blessings that He's given. Remember the sacrifice that He made for us. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at a string of verses here. Deuteronomy 4, verse 23. Says, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Says, hey, take heed. Don't forget the covenant. Don't forget the covenant that God's made with you. Let's look at chapter 8, verse 11. Chapter 8, verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. Look at verse 14. Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. And then in verse 7 of chapter 9, he says, remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came into this place, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. He says, don't you forget. Remember. Remember what I've done for you. Remember where I've brought you out of. Remember the sacrifice that I've given to you. Remember all the blessings that I've given to you. We have been given so much. We are so very blessed. We live in a country that, as downhill as it seems like it's going, we still have a whole lot of freedom. We've got eternal life through Jesus Christ. We have a home in heaven with God for eternity. Make sure we remember what God's given to us. Make sure that we remember the sacrifice that He's made, the blessings that He's given, and remember that we are His workmanship. And we are created for His pleasure. Now in this set of verses, Paul lays this out for Timothy. And he says, this is a pathway that I want you to follow. These are things that I need you to do as a soldier of Jesus Christ to fulfill your calling in life. These are the things that we need to make sure that we are following as we go down this path of life. Make sure that we are trusting in the Lord our God, reading this word and finding the things that He has for us and say, all right, I want you to go and do this and this and this and this. And if we go and do the things that we know God specifically told us to do, God then opens up more doors. Like, all right, if you're doing this, here's your next step. Here's the next thing I have planned for you. But if we don't do those things that God specifically says, all right, I need you to do this, 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 and this. I'm going to talk about, it's like, all right, I don't know what God wants me to do. Have you tried doing this, this, and this, and this, and this that you know he said to do? If we're not doing those, why would we expect God to give us anything more? You need to start off, fulfill these that we know God wants us to do. These are the things God says, hey, here's what I need you to do right here, 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 and here. If we're doing those, then God opens up those doorways. All right, here's the next fork in your path. And he lays that out. But we got to start with this that foundation. And Paul lays this out as a father to Timothy, his son, his spiritual son, says, hey, these are the things that you need to do to fulfill what God wants you to do in your life. All right, that's all I got for tonight. Any questions or comments?